Praise God. Well, let's turn over to 1 John 4, verse 17. For a few weeks, we've been talking about faith over fear. That's what we called it. 1 John 4, 17. It's on your sheet there. 1 John 4, 17. If you didn't listen to last week's message, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. The presence of God is always here when we're gathered together. And when the Word is preached, He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But there was a manifest presence of God while we were preaching last week and just focused. Just didn't even get out. I think this is, we've quoted several verses, but on our sheet, this is the only verse we got out, but there was other verses we referred to and quoted. But the presence of God was there to minister love, casting out fear. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But here, we're going to read this verse, 1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we. In this world, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In verse 19, we also can just read that. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And we touched on that. Fear involves torment. If you've ever been afraid, which we've all experienced fear in different degrees, it's tormenting. It's not a good thing. It's not something that we should desire. Fear is of the devil. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is expecting something bad to happen. Fear is imagining something bad happening, and it can range anywhere from just a slight dread of something to full-out hysteria and panic. It's all the same thing. It's just different degrees, and we should tolerate none of it in our lives because it will cripple you. We don't ever want to be led by fear. If you're being led by fear, if you're saying, well, I'm afraid to do something so I won't do it, you're already in the wrong place. You're not being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is not... Being led by fear because you're afraid to do something is not the same as because God told you to do something. In fact, being led by fear will lead you right into the very thing you're trying to avoid. Because who are you listening to? You're not listening to God. Satan, this is a tactic of the devil. You don't want that to happen, do you? You better not go here. And so somebody tries to avoid this and runs right smack into the thing they're trying to avoid or something worse. It's a tactic of the devil. He tries, if he can get you to be led by fear, he's got you. Yep. He can lead you around into his will. And that's what he's trying to do to every Christian. Now, if that inspires fear in you, that statement, this is exactly what we're talking about. We need to displace it. How are we going to displace it? If you say, oh no, the devil's, he's going to lead me by fear. You're going right into the same thing. Don't be afraid. How are you going to displace it? The love of God. The more secure you are in God, the less you're going to fear. Because if you know God, and you know what He is to you, and your relationship to Him, and how He supports you, and how He's with you, and the sacrifice He's made for you, where's fear? Because if the Almighty's with you, and you believe it, and you're convinced of it, what do you have to be afraid of? The answer is there's nothing. Is God afraid? No. Let me ask you that again. Is God Almighty afraid of anything right now? No. Is there any name, any image, any being that God would tremble in front of? No. None. There's not anybody, anything, any idea, any imagination where the Almighty would even blink an eye. Do you realize how powerful our God is? He's the supreme being in the universe. There's no one like Him. He sits on the throne. Talk about stability. It's not even the right word. I mean, he doesn't change. He never flinches. Never moves. Never bats an eye. I mean, he's faithful. He always has been. Right there, our minds go, just can't comprehend it. But that's who we serve. So fear, he doesn't deal in fear. Satan deals in fear. Satan is not the opposite and equal force of God. I know in epic stories, there's always a lot of times good and evil, and there's this equal and opposite force. There's the flip side, there's the good and the evil, and they come in, you know, what's going to win? That's not reality. Satan is not the equal and opposite force against God. He is no match for God. He's not in the same class as God. No one is. God is in a class all by himself. Satan is a created being, a fallen created being. He wants you to think, because he has a God complex, that he is like the Almighty. That's what got him into trouble. He wanted to ascend to the throne and take God out, which was a stupid idea, but he believed it. And a whole bunch of angels believed it with him. And, of course, that was never going to happen. But there is no... Satan is not anywhere close to as powerful as God. He is no match. And that means he's no match for us because we're God's children. Now, he doesn't want you to know that. And he'll fight to make himself look bigger than he is. That's what he's trying to do in the world. And he does a lot of that by fear. Gets you afraid of what something that's going to happen. Something that's going to happen in your body or in a relationship or in the economy or, you know, a domestic thing. Whatever. It's going to happen. Be afraid. You know, he's going to take you out. Let me ask you a question. If he's so bad and he could take you out, why didn't he already do it? If he can do it anytime he wants to, hot shot, why don't you do it already? Why'd you wait? It's because he can't. He can't unless we'll yield to him. He can't do it. Some of your wheels are spinning. He cannot just take you out. Otherwise, why didn't he just get it over with and take everybody? Why didn't he take you and I out this week? He cannot do it. Yeah, we'll try. If we yield to him, that's what he tries to get you to yield to him. And one of the ways he does this is through fear. If he can get you running from things, he can get you channeled where he wants you, because you're going to run from this and you're going to run from that, and he's just pushing you. God doesn't push. God leads. Satan pushes, though. He'll push you. He'll make you free. You have to do this now. If you ever hear, you have to do this now. You have to get it done now. Otherwise what? What are you afraid of something happening? Why would you act now? Well, you're afraid of missing out. That's not a way to act. If you ever feel pressure to do something, stop right there. That's not God. God does not push you to do things. Well, you're going to miss out. What's the motivation? What did you just say? I'm going to miss something. What is that? It's fear. Well, you better act now. You know what that's playing on? Fear of loss. And somebody told me this once in the real estate business. That's one of the greatest motivators. People make stupid decisions all the time because they're afraid of losing out on a deal. Losing it to the other person. People use this against people all the time. Well, if you don't act now, you're not going to get it. This person will get it. And so you run and get it, and then the price would have dropped $30,000 in 2 weeks, but you had to have it now. No, we don't want to be led by fear. Satan's a liar. He is not as bad as he would like you to think he is. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It displaces it. Casts it out. Displaces it. That means it takes the place of what the fear used to be there, but if you'll let love come in, it'll push it out to where there's no room for fear. You don't say, I'm just not going to fear, I'm not going to fear, I'm not going to fear. That's not a bad thing, but I'm saying ultimately, if you're so full of what God is doing, then you won't pay, the fear has no place. Just like I said, God himself is not afraid. If we'll get a hold of what God is and who he is to us, we won't be afraid. You don't have to try real hard not to be afraid. You're just not afraid because you know the truth. God's here. Why am I supposed to be afraid? There's just no fear. It's just not there. You may try to hit, but you're like, but God's here. So even if this did happen, he's here. So then he has an answer. He can take care of it. See, the more we get conscious of that, look at just verse 8 in the same chapter. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So God is love, and it says here that perfect love casts out fear. Though when we understand God and how much he loves us, then we will not fear, we won't be afraid. In fact, that love, knowing God, will cast out, will displace, will throw out fear. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be led by it. Look on your sheet there, 2 Timothy 1:7, familiar verse of Scripture says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of being afraid, but of power and a love and a sound mind. What's that? His spirit is on the inside of us. And if we believe it, if we acknowledge that, if we understand that, and this can't be just something we quote, if we understand that we don't have a spirit of fear, so when fear rises its head, no. That's not what I'm about. That's not what's inside of me. I am powerful. I have a sound mind. I am full of love. That displaces and pushes out any fear. Fear will try to knock on your door, try to get you to yield to it. Tries to get you to follow it. I think we'll get into that in just a minute maybe, but let's move on. We read this verse of Scripture. Just go ahead and look on your sheet. Psalm 20. Let's just read through it, but we'll get to the end of it, but let's read through Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. It means think about it. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. What I really wanted to get to, but I read that all in context because it's talking about the saving trouble. Verse 1 says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. We see in Psalm 191, it says, He will save you in the day of trouble. He will be with you. Amen. He will honor you, deliver you. Amen. Verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Read this a couple weeks ago. They say, well, what, chariots and horses? Some trust in the military might. Some trust in their bank accounts. Some trust in the wisdom of their counselors. You can put any number of things in there, but this is saying some trust in the natural things. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. Now, this was their military strength at this point. You know, the amount of power they have. Oh, it doesn't matter. Just look at history. Look at the history in the Word. The Israelites would take out much greater armies with the help of God. But then when it looked like they should win, they lost when they weren't going out in the power of God anymore. We want to trust God. He can take out one angel. took out 185,000 people. It doesn't matter how many people you have. Your army size, if you have God fighting for you, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. You and God, that's a majority. Do we believe it? In what area is God limited?
None.
He's unlimited in every area.
Yes.
Every positive area. He doesn't lack for wisdom. He doesn't have to ask anybody anything. He doesn't lack in resources. Do we understand that?
Yep.
He owns the universe. He doesn't lack in people to know. I mean, you think, if you know him, that's all you need to know. Well, I just don't have connections. Well, wait a minute. Do you know the Almighty? Okay, well, there you go. That's the connection you need. His power is unlimited. He is not limited in any area. So if we're saying, well, but I need so-and-so, I need this to happen, we're not fully understanding who we're dealing with. Some people trust in the what they have and they can see in the natural. It's very tempting in this world to do that. Well, I can only see this. I can only have this. I have this experience. But the Bible says here, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We'll remember Him. In other words, I don't care what rises against me. I don't care what it looks like. He's higher. He's stronger. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to trust in what I can see. You can be afraid if you're trusting in these things. If they change, fear is right at the door. You're confident as long as those indicators are okay, but if something changes, if all of a sudden somebody you were trusting in falters or the money supply falters, oh wait, now fear's right at the door. But if you trust in the name of your God, you realize all this stuff can change, but He hasn't changed. Your job may change, but that's not your source. God's our source. And He's still there. And He's still on the throne. He got us one job, He can get another job. He got us one stream of revenue, He can get us another one. Just like that. You may not see it. See, this is where the fear will play on what you can't see. And what you feel. And Satan knows it's transient. He knows it changes. He's going to play on it, though. He's going to push on your natural faculties. Even though he could see something coming right around the corner, if he can get you to doubt and get you to fear and get you to switch directions, even though you're on a collision course, he knows God's setting something up. But what he tries to do is get you to fear so you'll go away from it. That's why we can't be led and trust in things that are natural. We can't trust in somebody's business account. We can't trust in money. We can't trust in certain things being a certain way in world events. Because then you yield yourself to fear. And if you yield yourself to fear, you yield yourself to the enemy because he can drive you in certain ways. And you see this all the time. People are driven by fear. Why would somebody ever throw themselves off a building? Why? Because you're going to lose money? You're going to go to jail? But that doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not saying those are good things, but you're going to kill yourself over it? What kind of position are you in now? Especially if you're not a Christian. Why would you do that? It's fear. It's driving. Oh, I just don't know what came over me. Something was driving me. That's called the devil. Fear is a force. It, like we read in the first verse, it involves torment. It is not fun. That's why I said the other day, I just don't understand when people want to go be afraid. I don't understand the mentality. Because you're dealing, I understand some people take things very lightly, you know, in certain areas about, well, we're just having fun. What they don't realize is that emotion and that force they're yielding to has much worse consequences and isn't playing around. That you know how to yield to fear, it's not a good thing when you get back in the real world. we're just having fun. It's fun to be afraid. No, it's not. Not when you're up against something that's really threatening you. It's not fun. It's torment. Mm-hmm. Don't give it any place. Mm-hmm. Look at John 14. We're just, some of these we turned to before, so we're just going to look at them on your sheet. John 14, 25 says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Who's the understood subject of that sentence? Let not your heart be troubled. Who's he talking to? You. You don't let your heart be troubled. You don't let it be afraid. Do we have something to do with it? Can we stop fear?
Yes.
Some people will say, I can't. You don't understand. It comes over me. I can't. That's not true. It may feel true, but it's not true.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. Just because something feels like you can't control it, it may be that you've yielded to it so many. This is the way habits are. You don't feel like you can control it anymore because you've done it so many times that it's an automatic reaction and it feels like you have nothing to do with it. But it's not true. I said it's not true. You can resist fear the same way you can resist any other force coming in you, trying to tempt you to do something. You can resist it. It tries. See, just because fear comes on you, just because you have the hairs on the back of your neck standing up, just because your knees are starting to knock together, does not mean you have to yield to it. It's the same thing as if you have symptoms coming on in your body. The devil will tell you it's too late. You already have it. No, it's not. This is the time to resist it. And say, no, no, that's not going to come on me. It's the same thing with fear. Fear tries to come on you and say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And it can feel like you have no control. It can feel like it's just a machine gun at your head just going, what are you going to do about this? And this is going to happen. And you're not going to, what? And he'll paint images in your head, draw you a picture, show you a movie of what's going to happen, what he thinks or what he's trying to get you to believe will happen to you. And people will throw up their hands and say, it's too late, it's over, I can't stop it. Yes, we can. What did Jesus say here? This is Jesus. He said, he leaves his peace with us. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace, I give it to you. You think it's a pretty good peace if Jesus gave it to us? You think his peace is second rate?
No.
Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus at peace right now?
Yes.
Was he at peace yesterday?
Yes.
Is there ever a time that Jesus is not in peace?
No.
When he was on the earth and they were going to crucify him, they were trying to come at him. He walked right back through them until it came to his day. Now, he was tempted in the garden. He was tempted, but he didn't yield.
Right.
If he would have yielded, but he didn't yield. Just because he was tempted, did that mean he gave in? No. Yeah, but he's sitting there going, God, if there's any other way. Yeah. And he didn't break down and go, I just can't do it. Forget it. I can't do it. He didn't do that. He said, this is pressing on him, but you can be pressed and still be in peace. You think Jesus was in peace or not?
Yes.
Just because you're feeling some pressure, does that mean it's over?
No.
No? Just because you're feeling fear, does that mean you have to yield to it fully?
No.
Nope. Jesus said, his peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. So if he said he gave it to us, We have the Comforter on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. They didn't even. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. So do we have it?
Yes.
Do we have the peace of God?
Yes.
So we need to walk in it.
Yes.
We need to yield to the peace. So he said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we have his peace. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. So his peace we have. We need to yield to the peace and resist the fear. We have the peace, but fear will tell you it's over. But Jesus said he gave us his peace. But fear will tell you, you can't do anything about this. There's no sense. And try to get you to fully yield to it in panic. Do we have to? No, we don't. It's a choice. He said, you let your heart not be troubled. He's saying, you let it. You don't do it. Well, I can't do that. So, see, that's the deal right there. Are we going to contradict God? If he said, have his peace, and he said, don't let your heart be troubled. If we said, I can't help it, we just exalted our feelings and our word against the word of God. But if he said, don't do it, then our attitude would be, man, I feel like running through the door. You ever see those cartoons where the guy would be scared and he'd run right through the wall and leave like a, you know, cardboard cutout?
Yeah.
And he'd go through and there'd be like this hand-wavy cardboard cutout through the wall. You may feel like doing that, but Jesus said he gave me his peace. And he said, I'm not to let my heart be troubled. So that means I can do it.
Yep.
How? Because I'm going to work it up? No, because he said.
Yeah.
Do you understand the difference? If he said it, then it's an act of submission and humility to say, man, I don't feel like it. I want to run. I want to go and tell everybody how bad it is. I am feeling stressed. You know, I'm feeling. We going to be led by feelings or what the word says? What we have to do is, see, that feeling, I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying it's not pressing on you. I'm not saying it doesn't make you want to run through the wall. What I'm saying is it's a feeling. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be afraid. So we have to push back and say, no. No. Jesus said, I don't have to be afraid. And he is with me right now, and I'm not going to yield to it. Satan, you're a liar. Shut up and leave me. Can we do that?
Yes.
What if it's bearing down? I'm not making light of the feeling. I'm not making light of the situation. We have to say, yes, there's a situation. Yes, there's a feeling. But there is a word and a God that's greater and is not concerned right now and is not at unease right now, is at complete peace and knows the answer and is unlimited and is my God, and that trumps the feeling, trumps the situation. So I say, no. No. I won't yield. I don't yield to the fear, and I yield to what? Peace. To faith. What is it we're talking about here? If you're yielding, if you're going to do what God told you to do in spite of circumstances that are contrary, that's believing his word above the circumstances, which is faith. You believe him. Why would you act like you have peace when you feel afraid? Because you believe something different. Because you believe Jesus is with you. Because you believe the Comforter is with you. Because you believe he gave you his peace. So you, in spite of the fact, and most of the world would be running around crazily because they're going by their senses and their feelings, you say, I feel like doing that exact same thing. No. Jesus gave me his peace. I have the Comforter, the mighty Holy Spirit, with me right now. I choose to yield to that peace now.
You sense it right now? The peace of God's here right now, if you pay attention. That is not isolated to this room. There is an anointing here to teach and preach right now. But in the middle, in your bedroom, when pressure tries to come, when anxiety tries to come, when fear, you can do the same thing and just say, you know what? The presence of God is right here, right now. I choose to yield to peace. Fear, you have to go. And you can have peace in the middle of a very trying situation. Hallelujah. Let's read some more scriptures here. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 41:10. Why don't we go ahead and turn to that one? Isaiah 41:10. It's on your sheet there, but let's go ahead and turn. Do we have a choice? Do we have a choice how we react to situations? If you're not convinced of that, well, let's read on. This is crucial, though. If we think we can't control our response, then we can't walk in what God has provided for us. Isaiah 41:10. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Now, right there, he told us, "Fear not." Well, but I can't help it. Well, then why did he write that? Why did God, if he told us to do something that we can't do, then he is unjust. Fear not. Well, God, you know I have no choice. Oh, apparently he didn't know that. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that we have to renew our mind. Because our minds, I mean, emotion's a strong thing, but emotion and feelings would tell you, you just can't help it. And people say, I can't help it. I can't go to sleep. I just can't help it. That's not true. Right. It may feel true. It may have been true because we've yielded to it. That's not the same as it being true. Do you understand that? In this world, people, if they feel it, it must be true. Huh? Well, people feeling all kinds of things think it's true. It's not necessarily true. Maybe you're believing the wrong thing. And so it feels true. Well, that doesn't mean it's true. Yeah, but that's the way I feel. Well, people are in all kinds of problems because this is how they think. If I feel it, it's true. Well, no. What if we have a misunderstanding? What if we've been lied to? Because the enemy is the father of lies. You don't think he's inserted lies over the history of humanity? Well, yeah, but that's the way I've always believed. You know, we could always believe wrong. How do we know what the Word says? How are we going to know what the Bible says? And if the Bible contradicts what we believe, guess who's wrong? You want me to help you? It's not the Word. It's not God. So let's just be honest. All of us have blind spots. That's not a bad confession. It's the truth. Nobody in the world walking today, I don't care who you name, who you think, has perfect doctrine. Sorry. No one. Do you understand? No one believes and has everything understood exactly like God. Okay? You can put it like that? If you think somebody does, you're in for a rude awakening. Everybody no one has 100% renewed mind. Now, I'm not saying we have to miss it on major things. I'm just saying we're all in the process of renewing our mind. So let's just get past that. It's okay to say, oh, I was wrong. Even if you've been acquainted with certain things for a while. I mean, that you think, well, this is the source of truth. Now, I've come into contact with this ministry or whatever, and I listen to some messages, and I know it all. Well, that's a dangerous position. You're not teachable. It's okay. We should be learning every day and every week. Okay, can we just get here? It's okay to have something misunderstood in our life right now. Is that okay? Does anybody want to raise their hand and say, it's okay if I'm wrong in some area?
Yes, it is.
If there's a problem with that, then you need to address that, because you're not going to be able to change, and you can't be helped by God, because you already know everything. I already know everything. If I have that attitude, I already know everything. Well, that's a bad position. It's okay to miss it. It's okay to learn something, because we're looking at the Word. It's okay to say, oh. It's okay to turn to a scripture that you've read 150 times and realize you didn't completely understand everything it, because that's probably the case with every scripture in the Bible. You don't know. Have you exhausted the truth of the Word of God? No. Do we know? The Bible says that we look through glass darkly. We don't see exactly clearly. Is that a bad confession? No, it's called being a human. That's why we go to church. That's why we read the Word, so that we can be transformed into more of His image, so our mind can be more aligned with His truth. But if we think we're done, we're not. I don't care. You know, come talk to me after the service. We have not arrived. None of us are on par with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that to say we just don't know. We don't know. No, we can know. How do we know? We look. Let the Word be the truth. And if the Word contradicts our belief, then we need to be humble enough to say, oh, that's what that means. Well, you know what? I guess I am really seeing that a little wrong. Because our pride, and the fact that we've believed something for 5, 10, 15, 25 years will try to stand in our way and keep us from grabbing on the truth. Why? Because, well, I mean, really? But I feel it like it's this. So-and-so taught this. Who cares? What does the Word say? Brother Hagin will be one of the first to tell. If you've ever listened to him, he will say, if I say, and this was him quoting him, if I preach anything and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, me or anybody else, throw it out. Throw it out. Don't say it's Brother Hagin saying this truth. Back it up with the Word of God. Amen. So Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. So do we have a choice whether or not we're going to fear?
Yes.
Do we have a choice? Can we choose to fear?
Yes.
Can we choose not to fear?
Yes.
Yes. What if we really feel like fearing? Do we still have the choice?
Yes.
We do. We have the choice. Fear not, for why? Why would we not fear? He says, for I am with you. Well, there you go. If He's with me. Be not dismayed. Do I have a choice to be dismayed? Can I be dismayed?
Yes.
Even when I shouldn't be? Sure, people do it all the time. People wake up and say, this and this and this happened, I'm sad. Now, I'm not making light of situations. I know people are dealing with certain situations that I have not dealt with. But that doesn't change the fact we have the choice whether we're going to let it, our interpretation or our view on that, make us, see, that even the way we say it, nothing makes us be dismayed. Do you understand that?
Right.
We choose to be dismayed.
Yes.
Yeah, but this is happening. Okay, but it's still a choice.
Yes.
It's still a choice to yield to fear. It's still a choice. And being dismayed, you are yielding to fear. Why would you be dismayed if you're not fearing? You're afraid of something. You think something's not going to change. If you're dismayed. Dismayed means you don't have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Does God have hope?
Yes.
Is God in us?
Yes.
Is God for us?
Yes.
Should we ever be dismayed?
No.
Do we have a choice, though?
Yes.
We could be dismayed even with God right there. Could we?
Yeah.
Sure we could. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but we don't have to.
Nope.
Didn't say it was easy. But who said anything about easy? Well, it's not easy. If it's just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's not right. If we can still make the right choice. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. Okay, it's getting good. I will strengthen you. I will uphold, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's telling us, look, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And here's why. And he brings it back to himself. Right? Number one, I'm with you. Now, remember who we're talking about. Be not dismayed because I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Can we let that? See, acting on that, to act on that, you have to believe it's true. That's faith. It's just acting like it's true. Well, I'm going to try to get faith. Do you understand? Maybe this is not clear, but faith is a choice.
Yeah.
To act on faith comes by hearing. Right now, what we're reading, faith is coming. But whether we yield to it or not, or act on it, is a choice.
Yes.
You choose to believe. So some people are waiting to feel like it's true before they act. That's not faith. That's feeling. And if you walk by feeling, when you don't feel like it, you won't act on it. When you feel like it, you'll act on it. But the minute you don't feel like it, you're not going to act on it. That's not faith. When are you going to act on it? When you feel like it? Well, some things don't change. The feeling's still there. Well, I'm going to read a scripture again. We'll see if I feel different. Then if I do, then I'll know it's God. No, that's not true. I said that's not true.
Right.
We just read. Don't fear.
Yep.
Well, I just can't help it. Okay, we have a contradiction here. God said we could. God said not to do something. We say we can't help it. Oh, I'm not saying that's easy. But that's different than doing it and saying, God, by your strength, you told me to do it. You said don't fear, that you're with me. So, Lord, I choose to trust you. Don't be dismayed. Okay, God, I praise you. I magnify you. I say that this will change. I say that I will come up. That's faith. Fear will be driven out as we look and you let the Word of God dominate our thoughts. If we understand how much God loves us, like where we started out, understand what he's telling us right here, if you could just hear him, he's saying, look, don't fear because I'm with you. Don't be dismayed because I'm your God. If we understand that love, that's going to displace. This is what you're seeing right now, is that it will displace fear, if we'll let it.
Amen.
If we'll let it.
Yes.
That the fear has to go. The fear does not have to dominate us. Praise God. Let's go over to Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews, and on the way there, I want to read, let's read Romans. But go ahead, turn over to Hebrews. Praise God. You in Hebrews? Go to Hebrews 13. We'll come back to Romans. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Anybody there? It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I what? I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I can't help but fear. I'd like to resist, but it's of no use. You don't understand what I'm going through. The Lord is my helper. It says, I will not fear. I will not. I won't. Will not. I will not do it. Does that mean we could if we wanted to?
Yes.
But what does it say right before that? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not. Boldly. Boldly say it.
I will not fear.
I'm just saying. We boldly say it.
Yes.
I will not fear. Mm-hmm. We need to step up right in the middle of some situation. And sometimes you need to cut through the noise and cut through the pressure. And instead of waiting for us to feel like something has changed, we need to step up boldly and say, no, I will not. I refuse to yield to fear. I will not fear. Boldly. What does that mean? In the face of something.
Yep.
Cut through it.
Yep.
When the noise is there, when the pressure is there, I don't care if you got to get in your car and go somewhere, you know, in an empty parking lot, you know, if you're in an apartment or in your house or whatever, and get in a room, get somewhere where you can speak out loud and say what the Word says. Sometimes you have to hear yourself because there's noise in your head for all the pressure and the thoughts and the enemy's trying to hit you with stuff. You have to get above that and say boldly, no, this is what the Word says. I will not fear. I won't. I choose in the midst of this to praise God now. What God said is true, and I believe it now. I said, I will not be dismayed. I will trust Him. He is my comforter. He is the God of all creation, and He is with me now, and this thing will change. Whatever is tempting me to fear, I will not yield. I will not yield. God's Word is true, and it's true for me.
Amen.
And speak boldly what God's Word says.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get bold. We need to get sassy. Because the devil, he tried to beat you into the ground.
Yep.
And economic pressure, health pressure is real. Relationship pressure, it's real. Not saying it's not real. What we're saying is there is a higher power. There's a higher reality. And we have to make that forefront in our understanding, in our mind, and make the choice to put it. Yes, this is true. Yes, acknowledge. Yes, I feel like this. But God's Word, I will not yield to fear. Fear is going to drive me in the wrong direction. I choose to yield to peace and to yield to God's Word and to yield to all He said was true. And the fact, I just choose to magnify Him and focus on the fact that my God is on the throne, that His Spirit is with me, that there is no limit to what He can do, and He's working on my behalf right now, and I see exactly what He said in His Word coming to pass, and I see my body strong, and I see the relationship strong, and I see myself having an abundance. If it's monetary, I see the job working out. I see the clients coming in, and you focus on that and determine boldly just to fly in the face of fear. Just spit in its eye. Say, no, I'm not yielding.
I will not do it. You're a lie. Anything that tries to bring fear when I know my God is a lie. I choose to believe Him.
Amen.
Getting loud doesn't do anything per se as far as it doesn't bring any more power, but sometimes you just need to get loud to get over the noise so you can hear yourself think. Amen?
Amen.
We just need to get to where the Word of God is the strongest voice in the room. And if it has to come from your mouth, you're trying to read it over and over, and these thoughts are hitting you, and just, you know, you've read the same verse 15 times because you try to read, and then something distracts you, and it's just, this thing is in a loop in your head. Sometimes you just have to get up and start saying it out loud so where your ears and your mind and everything is focused on what God is saying. You just have to take yourself by the ear and say, no, this is what will happen. This is what's going to happen with me. This, the Word of God, is truth in my life. He is working on my behalf now, and I will not yield to this other thing, and just make it forefront.
Yes, that's
right. And do it again if you need to. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.